Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every single week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. One of the things about entrepreneurship is that we have this expertise, but the challenge is turning all the insights we've gathered from our expertise and turning that into impact and wealth. And that is going to be the focus of today's episode. Today's guest is an author, speaker, and advisor helping entrepreneurial experts make better business decisions. His work has been discussed in the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, Fast Company, Inc. Magazine, Forbes, and many others. He has been a featured speaker at many marketing industry conferences and has spoken at multiple TEDx events. Today's guest for episode 151 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than David C. Baker. David, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Mark. It's really great to be here. I've been looking forward to the chance to chat with you and to chat with your listeners in a one-way method anyway. Thank you for having me.
David, it is a pleasure to have you on the show, and I really look forward to diving into that ability to convert our insights into impact and wealth. But I'd love to get some backstory first. So why did you decide to write your book, The Business of Expertise?
I had written 4 other books over the previous decade or so, and it was time to write another one. And I sat down, was thinking about the topic, and I had the thing all researched and outlined, and it was going to be, I envisioned anyway, a textbook about how to run a business around expertise. I pictured it being about 120,000 words, sort of boring, sort of Wikipedia-like, but full of reference material for experts. I sat down, and as I was writing it, I just got bored, and I figured, well, if I'm bored, imagine how bored the people reading it eventually are going to be as well. So it took a left turn, essentially, and I decided to make it a lot more passionate, about a third of the length, to illustrate it in full color, and just to talk with readers about the value of diving in really deep and creating this irreplaceable or non-exchangeable positioning in the marketplace so that you could turn that leverage into doing better work for your clients and making more money. So it really arose out of my own experience as an expert over the last 25 years and wanting just to share that passion for expertise, that passion for getting to know something so well that it just feels unassailable, like you just are in a tractor and nothing's going to stop you. That's really the backstory for the book.
And it's interesting how you mentioned that you changed up your formula for writing that book when you realized that you were bored with it. And I mean, if you're like not fully passionate with your work, then your readers are not going to fully passionately read that book. They're not going to enjoy it as much. So the way you feel about your work has a big impact on the way other people are going to feel about your work when you do deliver it. And one of the things that I want to touch upon is that we have the idea that for experts, like they can definitely be able to make an impact and generate wealth. But I'd like to approach just a step before that where you actually become the expert, because some people, they may not feel like experts right away. So how do we build the insight on the way towards us being perceived as and also feeling like experts?
Yeah, and I think those two things are separate, actually, being an expert and feeling like an expert. I found in working with a lot of experts out there that many of their actual expertise is on a higher plane than how they feel as experts. And I think that's partly because they hear themselves say the same things or similar things over and over to the same kind of client. And so their insight becomes commonplace to them, whereas it's not commonplace at all to the people listening to it. And when they hear it, it just turns a light on, it rings a bell in their heads, and it changes their business lives for the good. So the difference between actually being an expert and feeling like an expert is pretty interesting. But how that expertise is developed, so that's a great question, and that's one of the questions that I try to answer in the book. And it's like this. And by the way we answer that question now is very different than how we would have answered that question in the past. And that's because of Google, essentially. So the world has been Googleized, and the amount of knowledge out there is just exponentially greater than it ever was. And it's changing every day. So what happens is that as humans, we simply cannot be expected to be an expert in as many areas as we might have been in the past, because that knowledge goes so deep. We also have removed all of these geographic limits from our expertise. So somebody that I might have served well in my local marketplace can now be served by an expert anywhere in the world. And so there are many more competitors than there used to be. So that means only one thing. The only way to get around that is to define your expertise very, very narrowly. Now, it might be defined vertically or horizontally, but it has to be defined very narrowly so that as we're saying no to all of these other areas that we could explore, we're saying yes, hell yes, to this narrow area, and we're going to know more about it than most people in the world. Then it's going to be easy for Google to say, oh, when somebody needs this particular expertise, then I'm going to send them, the search results are going to go right to this person, which would be me as the expert in this case. And it fits so well with your mission of helping people with content marketing, in that the more focused the content is or the insight, the more likely it is to draw the right traffic to them. And so again, how we answer that question today is very different from how we would answer that question even 15, 20 years ago.
So let's say that someone's an expert, they have insights, they're continuing to build on their education so that they stay sharp in their industry. But some people, they have expertise, they're not necessarily seeing the impact and wealth. So how do we convert the insights that we gather into this platform where we are able to impact the lives of people and generate an income for ourselves?
Yeah, and unfortunately, the answer to that is a multi-part one. So it could be that somebody has the right positioning as an expert, but they're not working hard enough, not disciplined. It could be that maybe they're not far enough in their career, so they haven't figured out how to monetize the expertise. But as it relates to the discussion you and I are having, sometimes it's that their focus is way too wide. So their expertise is wide and shallow, and it's not narrow and deep. Once it's narrow and deep, they're going to begin to see the patterns. So their positioning allows them to see similar situations over and over again. So in my case, I'm working with privately held marketing firms that are in the 6 to 60 person range, something like that. So my positioning allows me to work over and over again with firms like that. Working over and over again with firms like that allows me to see the patterns, to compare the truths that surface from one situation to the next, because those situations are fairly similar. I can then turn those patterns, that the pattern matching, which is the foundation of all intelligence, I can turn those patterns into pieces of insight. And I can say to a prospect or to a client, if you're facing this, it's probably because of this, and we might fix it with this. So when I'm on the phone with a prospect, or if they're reading the content, similar to what you're talking about frequently, they feel like I know so much about their situation because my positioning has allowed me to see so many of their situations over and over again. They feel like I know their situation so well, it's almost like I have a camera on in their office, and it's a little bit spooky in their minds because I understand their world so well. So once that happens, then the prospect says, oh, I want this person to help me. They understand my world. And all of a sudden, they use me to help achieve whatever it takes to move from where they are to their desired future state. And the money component doesn't matter too much to them, because now we're focusing on what I can fix, the impediments I can remove, how I can avoid from having them sort of reinvent the flat tire all the time, and just get a shortcut basically to success for them.
And in your experience with helping these companies and the impact you've been able to have with your book and your other works, I'm wondering, what do you believe holds most people back from reaching their full potential on the road to being a an expert who's making revenue?
Well, I think that in many cases, it's actually their own success that's holding them back. Albert Einstein said, "I must be willing to give up what I am in order to become what I will be." So even though they may not be totally satisfied with how successful they are at the moment, it is more successful than they ever have been. And the idea of exchanging that near certainty for better or deeper expertise, which is not as certain, scares them a little bit. And so they're not willing to reinvent themselves constantly and take risks. And the other factor that I see quite often is that they're looking backwards, looking at their competitors rather than spending all of their extra time reinventing themselves, developing their own IP, changing constantly, being innovative, taking risks. It's like the notion of entrepreneurship doesn't happen when you start the firm and then stop. Entrepreneurship begins somewhere, but it never stops, and it requires constant reinvention along that path.
And I understand during this path of reinvention, like some people, they may be comfortable with their current state. Others may not be comfortable, but not know how to reinvent themselves. So what's your advice on reinventing so that we can move towards our ideal results?
So as much as they need to be totally focused in this narrow way around their expertise so that they are real, deep, narrow experts, in their personal lives, I think they need to be very scattered and broad and interesting and varied. So they need to travel frequently. They need to be able to speak other languages. They need to read widely. They need to have very interesting habits that have nothing to do with their work life. They need to ground their work in a broader context. That's what helps pull them forward, and it keeps them from wearing blinders and not seeing where the rest of the world is going. Hanging out with young people as well and testing theories on them, explaining what you do and how you do it to somebody, and then seeing if that person can then explain what you do to somebody else is an interesting exercise to see if you're just saying things that don't make sense to people. I don't think there's one big answer. I think there's lots of little answers, and those would be some examples of those.
And I know that on the road to becoming a successful expert, one of the things, I feel like this is part of where the reinvention kicks in, where you do face a challenge that is in your way. And some people get through that by reinvention, other people get through that through other means. But I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge that you faced on your journey towards becoming a well-known expert in your niche, and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
I think one of the most difficult lessons that I've learned, and I'm not pretending to have learned it completely well yet, is that you do have to burn bridges with the right people, the right organizations. You don't want to burn them badly, but there are many associations that you might have that helped you, or referral sources, or other experts that you might have hung out with and so on, who may not grow as fast as you are, or who may be bringing clients who are no longer a right fit for who you are now. And you have to be willing to burn those bridges and move on. Let's say you've done an event with an organization, or you've been on their webinars or whatever. Always reassess those things and be willing to cut those cords. Every time you start something new, you have to not only decide how long you're going to do it, if you can, sometimes you can't, but you also have to decide what it is that you're going to stop doing in order to take this on, because you just simply can't add more things to your life. That's probably the biggest lesson for me.
We do have like only a limited amount of time each given day. And no matter like how much you accomplish in a given day, there's always more that you can do. I mean, like, there's always that extra blog post you can write. There's always that extra social media post you can send out. But we really have to, you don't want to give yourself so much work to a point where you're not able to feel a sense of balance between the work and the life that you're doing. So that is a really great takeaway, not to definitely to hustle, but not to give yourself too many things to do either. And we've been talking about your book, The Business of Expertise. But in addition to that book, I'm wondering if you could share with us three great books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Well, I think Ryan Holiday's book on The Daily Stoic is a great book to read. That's one. One that isn't all that new, but I found it to be fantastic, is Anne Lamott's book on it's on writing, Bird by Bird, it's called. And then Peter Block's book on flawless consulting. I think those are three classics that will always be useful to an expert.
David, thank you for those great book recommendations. Those will all be in the show notes at markgaberti.com/E151. And if you guys are not on Audible yet and you guys want a free audiobook, just head over to markgaberti.com/audible. You'll be able to get your free audiobook. There are millions of options there. That link will also be in the show notes. But before we wrap up this episode, I've asked you a bunch of questions throughout our time together. But David, what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
How could I do deeper work? How could I do better work, not necessarily more work? That would be the question I'd ask.
That is a really good question. It does give a lot of reflective thought. I would like for you to just give us an approach of how you would answer that question for yourself.
That's to write things that after people read them, they have a reaction one way or the other. They either want to listen or hear me less or more. I don't want somebody to read something that I've written or listen to something that I've recorded and just have sort of a meh reaction, like nothing good or bad. I want the stuff I write or say to provoke a reaction so that it causes people to think, not in an artificial way, but it forces people to think carefully. And I think that's what distinguishes between content marketing and insight marketing.
David, thank you for that brilliant insight. And also thank you for sharing your great advice throughout this episode. Don't forget, you guys can get the book, The Business of Expertise. That is going to be in the show notes. And again, David, thank you so much for sharing all of your great insights with us today.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate you having me as a guest.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markgaberti.com/retweets.